Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, why don't we go ahead and pray before we get started here tonight. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee once again that thou hast brought us here. For we know it is such a privilege to be in thy presence. And I pray, O God, that thy Spirit would be here this night. Let thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us, O God, to draw nigh to thee this night. I pray, O God, that thy presence would be here. I pray that thou would inspire us to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. And let all that we do here tonight be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Well, why don't we go ahead and sing that song we were hearing just a moment ago, number 13 in the chorus book, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, number 13.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 25 and sing Let Go and Let God Have His Way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Go to number 76 and sing Reach Out and Touch the Lord. Number 76.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's often busy to hear your heart's cry.
Savior, and we can trust completely. And there is a song that just popped into my head that I feel like we should sing. And I think it's number 135 in the hymnal, but I'll double check that. Yes, number 135. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus."
Put our trust in Him.
You know, it's a wonderful thing that we can lean on His everlasting arms. So let's go to number 251 and sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, number 251. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for Thy goodness towards us. We thank Thee for all that Thou hast done for us. We thank Thee for Thy provisions. We thank Thee for Thy guiding hand. And I pray, O God, that You would teach us to fully, completely trust Thee, to rely on Thee, to lean on those everlasting arms, knowing full well that Thou art able to take care of us and provide for all our needs. We thank Thee for Thy mercy, for Thy grace, for Thy sustaining power, which has kept us for so many years. And we believe on Thee, we trust Thee, O God. I pray that Thou would give us wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the sake of Thy mighty name. And I pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night. tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started with the Bible study. And, you know, it seems like since we're going to be diving into the Word just momentarily, it would be a wonderful thing to sing number 19, Deeper, Deeper. Number 19. Study the deep things of God. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to turn it over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart tonight. Praise God.
Thank you. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. So good to feel the Lord's presence and to know that He's right here with us. Amen. It's a wonderful thing that we have the Lord and that we can put our faith, our trust in Him. And, you know, there is always that challenge to trust Him more, you know. We sing that and oh my, I don't know. I know those moments I have where, oh my, I guess my trust is not where it needs to be, and I just thank God that He keeps on working on us. Oh, yes, and then, you know, it comes through. It just says the Lord, you know, makes a way for us, and you know, He answers, oh, so often in ways we never would expect, but according to His plan and His purpose. And what a wonderful thing it is just to trust the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We do have a great privilege. I remember when Tim's brother Danny was so sick, fighting cancer in hospice, and all this and that, and oh my, that second visit there. And I just remember, you know, we were thinking about scriptures on the way down and, you know, pondering what the Lord might have us say to Him or read to Him and all that. And I can remember, I think that first time we were really tired by the time we got there. But that second night, you know, actually it was in the morning and you know, He wanted to know what scripture the Lord had put on my heart. And, you know, I had all these other things that I thought I was going to say to Him, but He wanted to know what the Lord had put on my heart that morning. And it was just really something, because it was just simply there from Proverbs, the 3rd chapter and verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." And, you know, it was just right from heaven. It was exactly what was needed, and Dan knew it. He knew it, you know, and oh boy, what a time we had that visit. Oh, praise the Lord. But the Lord worked in His heart, and that was an amazing thing. It was an amazing thing, though the Lord did take Him home. But yet, I believe the Lord made Him ready. And I just thank God, you know, there is so much we don't know in this world. There is so much we can't figure out on our own. And we know we serve a mighty God whose ways are different than man's ways. His ways of thinking are completely contrary to the normal way of thinking. But thank God for it. Thank God, because as we see what's going on in this world, all road that most people are going down, and we realize how contrary they are and how off their thinking is. It's wonderful to know that there's a God who doesn't change. His opinions don't alter. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is that rock that we can stand on, that stability that we need in this world. Everything else changes. Oh, it was wishy-washy and contrary, and oh my, you hear so many opinions out there all the time. But praise the Lord's word is forever settled in heaven. Praise the Lord, so we can grasp it, we can lean on it, and we can know that, you know, it's not going to be one way today and a way different tomorrow. I like man's ways are. Oh, praise the Lord, there's so many disappointments in this world. So often, but our God is stable and we can trust Him. And it's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be praying, and I'm going to be praying for Kazuhiko, our friend in Japan. And I got one letter from him. We hadn't heard from him for a course of time, and honestly, we thought he was dead. Because, he's up in age, and we just didn't hear from him, which was not his normal pattern. We had heard from him for years and years and years, and we knew he was sick. He was fighting prostate cancer and some other things, and I know at one point his wife had written to me because he was too sick to write himself, and so it has been, but we've been talking about different things. The Lord kind of opened up a door, so I could, you know, talk more to him than had been before. I just, you know, things doctrinally. So praise the Lord for that. But anyway, since he wrote back, you know, and he mentioned, you know, he'd still like to come see us and this and that, but, you know, his age and his health was not good and he didn't see how he could and all this and that. But, you know, he said if the Lord would give him strength and all that, he would consider it, you know. But anyway, we just, you know, put some things out there for him, and, you know, we got a letter from him where he really did grab onto that very well. And, you know, it just seemed like, you know, he's fighting. And I don't know what the Lord will have to do. He said he was going to try to find somebody to baptize him in Japan, because we have been talking about baptism specifically, among other things. But anyway, I don't know. I know I'm working on another letter that I most likely will complete tomorrow, Lord willing. But anyway, you know, you know, I got to explain a couple things to him that I think he doesn't understand. And that's the trouble. There's so lack of understanding in this world today. There's just, you know, there's all kinds of doctrines out there, and ways of thinking. But again, you know, we go to the Word of God. And what it says is, you know, it's forever settled in heaven. So we can lean on it. And you know, again, we know it's not going to be one way today and, you know, a different way tomorrow. Just like men are, women are, you know, people, you know, we preached one thing 1 minute and something else, you know, 5 years down the road. No, it's not like that. But anyway, he did get another little note from him, and he said he's got leg and joint pain, and he hopes to become better. And he's thankful for our prayers, and he said that he always would think that last trumpet says truth. And I don't know, you know, God works on the heart, you know, and I don't know, let's just pray for him. I'm going to pray that God will make a way for him. You know, it'd be wonderful if there would be somebody in Japan who would actually baptize him properly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there would be such a person, I thank God for that. But anyway, I don't know, but anyway, you know, God has given some very unusual moments that I've been able to minister to him, and I just want the Lord to have his way, and he needs to have his way in all of our lives. You know, we get to that place where we're going to cross over, you know, to that other world. We want to be right with God. You know, we want to have everything settled and taken care of, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, those sins remitted, yes, in the waters of baptism. Yes, praise the Lord. So let's pray for him and others as the Lord leads here. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, oh God, we just thank you, God, that we can put our hope, our trust, our faith in thee, Lord. We thank you again for that word that you've given us that is forever settled in heaven. Oh God, we thank you that we can bring our needs, our petitions before thy throne, Lord, knowing that thou carest, Lord, that thou art able, Lord, thou art so capable, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you, Lord Jesus. And God, we do bring our Japanese friend, Kazuhiko, Lord, before thy throne, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, that she would make a way, Lord. Pray, oh God, that you take care of this joint and leg pain, Lord. You know all about it, God, and we're giving it to you, Lord. Oh God, we're asking you to touch him, Lord, that you'd strengthen him, Lord, that you'd give him faith, Lord, that you'd give him boldness, God, that you'd help him to see and understand the good things that are in your word, Lord, that you'd show it to him, Lord. I'm asking that you'd make a way for him, that he would be baptized in your name, oh Lord, in the waters of baptism, God, and that you'd show him the other things that he yet needs to see, Lord, that you'd pour out of your Holy Ghost upon him, Lord. Oh God, we're bringing him before you, Lord, and we're asking that you'd move, Lord. We know that there are no coincidences with thee, Lord. Oh God, you brought this man into this ministry, Lord, for all these years, Lord. He's translated letters, oh God, oh, into Japanese, Lord. He's done all this and that, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that you would be with him, Lord. Oh, God, in his old age, Lord, that you touch him now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, for with your stripes we are healed, oh, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that your will would be done. And, oh, God, that you'd grant much wisdom here in this circumstance, in this situation. God, we give it to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood, Lord. And, God, I pray that you'd meet the needs of all your people, Lord. I pray that you touch tonight, Lord, that you put faith in our hearts, God, that you work on us, oh Lord. You know the changes that we need to make, oh Lord. You know, oh God, where we need to yet go in thee, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you'd bind the strong man, everything that works to oppose, oh God, and hinder. God, we ask, oh Lord, that you set us free in Jesus' name, and that you work in our hearts, oh God, all the inhibitions and all the things, oh God, that hinder us, let them go in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, for we give it all to you, Lord, and ask that you would talk to us tonight, oh God, that you give us hope in you, Lord, that you change us, oh Lord, in Jesus' name, that you draw us to yourself, oh Lord, for without you we could do nothing. You are our hope, you are our strength, oh Lord, you are that strong and mighty tower that the righteous runneth into and are safe. We thank you in Jesus' name and praise thee, Lord. Meet the needs of your people, Lord. Oh God, change the circumstances that are going awry, Lord. Give faith in our hearts, oh Lord. Bind the strong man, Lord. Oh God, heal, oh Lord. Oh God, our infirmities we ask in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Put faith in our hearts, Lord. Oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, we worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message, Exhort One Another Daily. And, you know, I just exhort his word that we see often in the New Testament, and of course we, you know, it means to urge by strong, often stirring argument, an admonition or advice, appeal, or to encourage, sometimes to warn, all of those sort of things. So, and how we all need it as people here on earth at these moments of time. Tell you what, these are perilous hours. These are serious moments in time. We have to have our faith and our confidence in the Lord. There has to be some changes in the way we think so that we are ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord when he comes to judge this earth. Oh yes, and that time when time is no longer anymore. You know, had an email. It was sent on from our prayer account, and I know it was on the prayer list too, but I'm just going to read a part of it because it really hit me. You know, it's a letter from one William and Grace, and they mentioned that they haven't written to our ministry very often, though he states that I have seriously followed news for over 25 years, and he writes, in all my life, which is 77 years, I have never felt like the end that Christ warned us is upon us like now. Pray for us that we would seek God as never before to be able to accomplish his will. Also, that we would return to our first love. Oh, praise the Lord. I just thought that was so dear, and I've heard that from so many people. There is a pressing in our spirits. I always felt like when the coming of the Lord was near that we would feel it in our spirits, and you know, that warning, that need to make haste and to get right. And he's, you know, yes, that need to seek God as never before. Oh, it is so upon us, and yes, that need to return to our first love. Oh yes, like never before, to be right in the sight of the Lord, to have that zeal, oh, that desire, oh, that determination that we need deep down inside our very being. I'll just turn in here to Matthew 24 for a little bit here. I'm going to read a few verses from Matthew 24. Looking at verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Oh, these are the beginning of sorrows. And we've seen this. We've seen nation rise against nation. We've had those world wars. Oh, yes, we've seen kingdom against kingdom and all of that. Oh, yes, and there are famines, there are pestilences, there are earthquakes in diverse places like never before. It tells us all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And there is a growing hatred against Christianity in this world. It says in verse 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. I'll tell you what, I don't think we've seen it yet, but you know, as the pressure grows stronger, who knows what we may yet have to face. Because I'll tell you what, there is a strong element in this world, and I believe that there are people, multitudes and multitudes of people, in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So it tells us in Joel, the second chapter. And it tells us in verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And oh, yes, there have been many, many false prophets in the world and still certainly are to this day. And because of that, it says, shall deceive many. Oh, that spirit of deception is so great in this world. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, in verse 12, the love of many shall wax cold. And yes, we're seeing that too. We're seeing, oh yes, many people who even had a zeal for the Lord at one point were on fire for God, but because of the iniquity in this world, their love for God has waxed cold. Oh, I'll tell you what, we don't want to be in that position. It's time to get deeper in the Lord, as we just sang. It's time to get to that place, oh, where that fire is burning fervently in our hearts. Oh, God forbid that that love of God, the love for Him, would wax cold in our hearts. But it tells us here, it warns us here in this 12th verse, and because iniquity shall abound, oh, it's all over, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And we know what this is, an endurance race. Oh, yes, there's many that start this race, but do not hold out until the end. But that's the thing, we've got to hang on. We can never give up. We've got to go forward. You know, we've got to fight this good fight of faith and hang on to everything that we know that is right and true and good with all our heart, and do the Lord's will and do His work. Amen. It tells us, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. And oh, I believe it's on the brink of being fulfilled. I know it has to go out. The gospel message has to go out. It has to be proclaimed. And I believe the Lord is making a way for that. I believe His will be accomplished. But we are in that time that the love of many has waxed cold. Oh, I'll say, I know I went to Staples yesterday for a few things and was talking to the clerk. I kind of like it sometimes when those stores aren't too busy. You know, we can talk a little bit to the personnel there. And anyway, she was just sharing with me the way that there had been some customers in the store and their filthy mouths. And, you know, they're saying the F word and, you know, cursing. And it was horrible from what she described. And, you know, the thing is, you know, it's not an isolated case. It's way, way too common. People don't control their mouths like they need to. I know when Brother Tim was driving taxi, he had to put a sign up in his taxi telling people that he wasn't going to listen to any cursing or swearing or taking the Lord's name in vain. But people have forgotten. They used to have, you know, they used to kind of just, you know, be a little more careful when they're out in public, you know, or they feared, you know, mom, dad would say, you know, I'm going to wash out your mouth with soap if you talk like that. And, you know, there was a little bit of fear once upon a time. But oh, here we live in this period. Oh, yes, that iniquity abounds, and people are just going amok and doing whatever pleases them. And you hear all this filthy talk and all these disgusting things going on. Sometimes you can't even bear it. You don't even want to walk down the street for fear of what you might overhear. But praise the Lord, God does have a people that He has reserved to Himself. And it does tell us, it warns us again. We are told in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And here we are. Oh, I think that describes these moments that we live in. Oh, yes, here we are, this brink of time. And oh, yes, time is running out. Amen. Let's also now go to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Hebrews 3, and here we have some heeds too, some warnings that the writer of the book of Hebrews, who I believe is Paul, is writing to the people that he's addressing. And if we look at verse 12 to begin here, it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Oh yeah, there was a concern back then in the day in which Paul lived. He was a little bit afraid. He was zealous for those people. Oh yes, that were serving the Lord. They were part of the remnant church. He was zealous for them, and he didn't want to see them turn aside. He didn't want to see them depart from the living God. So here he's warning. He's saying to take heed. He's exhorting, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Well, I tell you what, there are so many things that play for our souls in this world in which we live. You know, you can look at a magazine, you can look at the newspaper, you see maybe something from the television, for all I know, if you're so inclined. And you know, all those things play for your soul. All the deceitfulness of sin and all those things that try to call your numbers, the conditioning that the world tries to put upon us so that we respond to all their little clues or cues that they have out there. But I tell you, we got to take heed, lest there be in any of us an evil heart of unbelief. Oh yes, we know from Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, that the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, and who can know it? You know, people don't know their hearts. You know, people want to think that they're good of themselves. They don't see their hearts. They don't see their condition. They don't fear God like they need to. There's great dangers in that. Oh yes, because the world is calling, those voices are calling. They're trying to influence, they're trying to make an impact. They're trying to sway, they're trying to bend, they're trying to mold and shape. And it's not according to God's way. Oh yes, but there's a God, oh yes. He's looking on the heart. He's looking on the heart, he's searching the heart, and he's trying the reins to see just what is deep down. Oh yes, he's going to give every man according to his doings, according to the fruit of his ways, all of those things. Oh, God is going to see, and he's going to do, he's going to respond. But it tells us back here in Hebrews, the 13th verse, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh yes, here is, oh yes, that verse that tells us to warn, to admonish, to encourage one another daily. Oh yes, there's things that are important to discuss, the things of God, the things, oh God, that matter in this life. And it says, oh my, daily. Oh, we want to spend every day with God. You know, you don't want to take a vacation from God. I just remember, oh, years ago, yeah, that young man that told Pastor David, yeah, that, you know, he's going to take a day off and go liberal. Oh, I'll tell you what, that guy, he was soon very liberal. Oh, yeah, he converted to Judaism eventually, and then God knows what else, and last I knew, he was in federal prison. I'll tell you what, oh, we're to buy the truth and sell it not. God has given us something deep, something that we're not going to play with or, use for a moment and then throw away and discard. This world that everything is so disposable, the gospel is not. No, it is something deep. We want our roots to go down deep, deep, deep into the earth so that we're not shaken. We're not shaken by the winds. We're not shaken by the trends of men and all the things that are coming upon this world. We've got to have something that's deep or we're going to fall like the rest of them. So here it is, the need to exhort one another daily while it is called today. Now is this acceptable day. Now is the day of salvation. Now is our salvation near than when we believed. Lest any of you be hardened, oh, through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, I'll tell you what, we have an adversary, and he's just as deceitful as he was in the Garden of Eden. Just as deceitful, you know. It's really something there in Genesis, the third chapter. We know that Adam and Eve were put in that beautiful, perfect garden initially. And, you know, it was paradise. Oh, there was nothing that was there to hinder at all. There were no weeds. Oh, man. There was no soil to dig up, and they didn't have to work by the sweat of their brow and have to bring forth children in labor or any of that at that moment. It was just a perfect paradise. Things just grew abundantly, nutritionally, wonderfully. I'm sure the soil was rich and everything was ideal, absolutely. But there's only one thing that they couldn't do, and that was eat of the tree that was in the midst of the garden that God had said to not eat of. The one thing that he told them to do. Well, it tells us in Genesis 3 that there was a serpent, and he was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And I believe at this time he's talking and he's walking, a little different than the serpents after that because of the curse. But anyway, he came, he approached Eve, and he came with, something that seemed credible, just a little question. He said unto the woman, unto Eve, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Yeah, well, yeah. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And, so it is. They weren't to partake of that tree. And I don't know if God had said they shouldn't get near it or not, but anyway, I guess when you get too close, you're asking to be tempted, aren't you? But anyway, so it is. The serpent began to work on her, with all his subtlety, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. See, at that point, everything was good. Everything was perfect. They didn't know evil. But the devil knew that if they ate of that tree, then all at once, their eyes would be opened. They'd be enlightened, so to speak. Be as gods? Oh, what tempting he was doing here. And he would know good and evil. Well, the woman looked at that tree and she saw, it was good for food. It looked, like something you could eat. And she looked at it again, that it was pleasant to the eyes. It was pretty, Oh man, nothing looked wrong with it at all. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. And that was too much for her. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And I'll tell you what, all at once, yes, things changed. Oh, they were never the same after that. Oh, that serpent, that old devil had beguiled her through his subtlety, his deceitfulness, and he's the same these days as he was then. And look how it is. He took a little bit of truth and mixed it up. You know, quoted a little bit of scripture and mixed it up, you know, so that it sounded very enticing. Oh, very misleading in reality. But they were deceived. The woman was deceived and then gave unto her husband, and he did eat too. And it tells us the eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And then they heard the voice of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Oh, yes, and yes, as God calls to them. Oh, they never had to hide from God before. They walked with God. They had that privilege of walking with God. But it was all to be lost because of sin, the thing that had entered into this world. It would never be the same. And all at once they knew what it was like to be afraid. Oh, they had to tell God, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. God said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Of course, they went on with their, you know, their reasoning. The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Oh, boy. The Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Of course, all those curses were put upon the creation, and that serpent was cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, put upon his belly, told that he would eat dust for the rest of the days of his endurance, and there would be enmity put between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In the midst of all of this, there was a promise. And one day there would be a deliverer who would come, the Lord Jesus Christ, that would come and bruise the head of Satan. Oh yes, the heel would be bruised of Jesus there on the cross. But oh, there was a deadly wound that was given to the old serpent, the devil, and his head was bruised. But that all was because of sin. Of course, going back here to Hebrews 3, we just see the deceitfulness of sin, that devil that deceived Eve and Adam on that day is the same devil that walks to and fro in the earth today with the same intentions and the same desires. So it tells us here in Hebrews 3, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Verse 13, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Oh yes, we are in an endurance race, as we read there from Matthew 24. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And the Lord has put something in our hearts. He has made us partakers with Christ Jesus, that wonderful salvation that was purchased on the tree of Calvary. Oh yes, praise the Lord, if we can hold the beginning of our confidence until the end, steadfast until the end, not wavering like a wave on the sea, but, you know, believing God, trusting God, holding on to the truths that are in God's Word. No drawing back. Oh, yes. Oh, God said, if any soul draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Oh, as it tells us in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, we do not want to be of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Oh, praise the Lord. No, there is no drawing back for us. There's no turning around. There's no giving up. We must hold on and hang on with confidence in our Lord, steadfast until the end. As it goes on in verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Oh, yes, referring back to the time of the children of Israel walking through the wilderness, all those times of provoking the Lord, the time of provocation, where they provoked the Lord those 10 times. And, oh, yes, even caused Moses to slip up there because of all the provocations. But how sad it was. Oh, yes, there they were, Kadesh Barnea, there, ready to enter into the promised land. And God had Moses sent out those spies into that promised land to look it over. And of course, you know the story. They were there those 40 days and they found it a land filled with milk and honey. Oh yes, the wonderful fruit, the abundance of the things that were growing there in that land that God had prepared for them. But there was something in their hearts, even though it was a fruitful land, it was beautiful. There was something that was in their hearts. It's called unbelief. All they could see were the tall, strong giants, the people that lived there. Because they didn't have faith in their hearts, all they could see is the giants running over them, overwhelming them, taking control of them. They didn't have a chance. Oh, how sad. You know, Caleb, oh yes, he had faith. Yes, oh, we are well able to go in and take the country. We are well able to go in. Let's go in at once, he declared. But the others said, oh, we can't, we can't, we can't. There's giants there. All they could see is the big, tall giants, all the hindrances, all the things that they thought were beyond them. They didn't have faith. They were, oh, in the valley of unbelief. They couldn't enter in. Oh, God was so displeased with them. Oh, he was so displeased. He brought them to that place. He'd taken them to the wilderness, and now they were there, and they could have entered in. But they didn't have faith. So instead, oh, yes, that older generation, all of them except for the two that had faith. Oh, the rest died in the wilderness. How sad. How sad that they would die in the wilderness because of unbelief. They could have entered in. They could have reaped those promises. Oh, yes, they could have known that joy of, you know, being on the other side, that land of rest. But they feared the giants. That's all they could see. And this is told us here. It tells us in chapter 4 of Hebrews, it says in verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest the promise be left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Oh, we have a promise too. We have a promise of entering into rest. It tells us in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I mean, you can sit on the church pew for years and years, but if you don't have faith in your heart, it's not going to do you any good. You've got to let faith enter in. You've got, oh, let faith mix in with the words of eternal life so that you can enter into that place of rest. For it tells us in verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Oh yes, it was an example of the rest that he was going to give to his people. And it says in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today is the hour of salvation. Today is the time to get right. Today is the time to render your heart and not your garments, and to fall on your face and to cry out to God. Today is the acceptable hour. Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Oh, people, sometimes, you know, that process takes place. You know, there's faith initially and the Lord's beginning to work, but all that unbelief starts to enter in, and all those I can'ts and all I won'ts and all those things that come in to pound away and to hinder. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Let it not be said of any of us that that hardening process would take effect in our lives, but rather, I pray, oh, that our hearts would be soft and moldable, all in the presence of the Lord, that he'd be able to work in us and come into us, oh, and fill us with his Spirit, oh, that we could be vessels of honor, vessels that are given over to the will of Almighty God. So he spoke in David. He limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? See, there was something beyond them. There's going to be a period of time. There's going to be another dispensation beyond that time period of the law. There's going to be a period of time when God was going to bring forth his rest. It says, there remaineth therefore a rest. Oh, a rest of the people of God. No wonder Jesus could say in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Oh, praise the Lord, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, that rest that Jesus spoke of, that we might come to him, that rest that remaineth unto the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Oh, praise the Lord. We enter into a rest. And it exemplifies that we cease from our own works. We give our lives to the Lord. Oh, we exchange our heavy burdens, all the sin, all the debauchery, all the horrible things that had overwhelmed us. We give them to God. Oh, and we come to the Lord so that he takes our lives and oh, he makes a new person out of us. Oh, praise the Lord. We can repent. We give it over to the Lord. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. We obey his command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of our sins. Those old sins are wiped away. And praise the Lord, he makes a new person out of us. That promise that we will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, is it no long? No wonder that in Isaiah 28, Isaiah prophesied of the rest that was to come forth. Just turning there quickly, Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. This is refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Oh, what was God doing on the day of Pentecost? Oh, he told them to go to Jerusalem. Oh, yes. And tarry until they be endued with power from on high. He was going to send forth the rest. That was what happened on the day of Pentecost. That rest fell from God, that rest that he had promised, that we would cease from our own works and rest in the works of God as he takes our lives and begins to change us and mold us and shape us and make a new person out of us. Oh, yes. Any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are changed. Behold, all things have become new. The Lord takes us, oh yes, as we are, we come to him. Oh, we come to him with all our problems, with all our needs, with all our sorrows, with all our sin. We come to the Lord Jesus. We give it to him. But praise the Lord, oh yes. He is so generous. He is so kind. He has those provisions all planned for his people that we would come to him and we'd let him take our heavy burdens, that weight of sin, all that thing that drags us down, that thing that would send us to hell. He takes it so that we can live for him, so that we can be a holy and people that are accepted in his sight. Oh, praise the Lord. We cease from our own works, oh, our own plans, our own plots, our own thinking. We give it to the Lord. He fills us with his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, so that he can come into our lives and talk to our hearts and change us. Oh, we can hear that still small voice that speaks to our soul. This is a way, walking in it when you go to the right hand and when you go to the left. Oh, praise the Lord, he talks to us. He changes us. He you know, it's to tell us things to come. Oh, yes, so that we might all know the will of God, so that we might have discernment. Oh, we might walk with the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. In such a time that we live in right now, if we ever needed to be right with the Lord, if we ever needed to hear the Lord's voice, it is now. It is now. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I tell you what, there is a heavy spirit of deception. And you know what so many people are feeling right now, the nearness of the coming of the Lord. He's telling us, you know, we don't know the day or the hour, you know, but we're beginning to see this, we're beginning to see that, and you know, we don't want to be deceived. But there is a heavy, heavy spirit of deception in the land. I was just thinking today, you know, I'd watched this, oh, I think it was in January 2014, it actually happened. This Tony Palmer, he was an emissary for the Pope, Pope Francis, actually, and he'd been assigned, obviously, with a mission to tear down the wall that separated Catholicism and Protestantism. And in January of 2014, this Tony Palmer, sent by the Pope himself, spoke at that huge church that Kenneth Copeland pastors. And I'll tell you what, it was really something to see it, because Kenneth Copeland professes to be a charismatic Pentecostal. And oh, there were so many people sitting out there in the audience. But this Tony Palmer stood there and beseeched them, and he emphasized how it was time to break down the divisions that were between them. The divisions had fallen more so early 2000s, late 99 there or so, between Catholicism and Lutheranism. And then later it seemed like the Methodists had kind of fallen there, joining hands with the Catholics. Now it was time, 2014, to break down the charismatic Pentecostal type people. And so it was. He was enticing them. And he kept on telling them it was time for them to come back to the fold. He kept on saying, this Tony Palmer, that the protest was over. That now, you know, the thing that had divided them in the past was no longer dividing them. That, you know, the Catholic people were on the same wavelength and all coming to Christ in the same manner, and not by works but by faith. And you know, he beseeched them. And I'll tell you what, after he was over, this Kenneth Copeland stood there and admitted that the protest was over and that they're all now on the same page. And then he prayed a prayer for Pope Francis himself. I'll tell you what, it wasn't a good thing to see at all. I'll tell you what, I don't think Martin Luther would have liked to have seen that when he put those whole thesis there on the church wall of Wittenberg there in Germany in 1517. Oh, seeing all the things that were wrong. 95 thesis there that he posted on that church door. Oh, yes. I'll tell you what. No, it's time to get back to the old paths, the ways that God has put in his word. It's time for people, oh yes, to get to that place. And it's so essential right now, because I'll tell you what, like I said, that spirit of deception is extremely great in this world. Oh, it's there to destroy whomsoever it can. It really is. It's there. And it even tells us there in Matthew 24 that it's going to be so great that if it were possible, even the church of the living God would be deceived. But God is going to shorten the days so that his remnant, his people, can be saved. Thank the Lord. But it tells us in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, as Paul is writing to Timothy, verse 1, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his coming, and his kingdom, rather. The time of his coming, he's coming to judge, isn't he? Both those that are alive, the quick and the dead. And then he said in verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. Oh, the things that people don't value anymore. Oh, yes, the need to have long suffering and doctrine. Oh, sticking to the old paths, the things that were ordained by God himself. As it tells us in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Oh, wanting to hear just the things that sound good, things that tickle their ear. Oh, don't tell me I'm a sinner. Don't tell me that it's wrong to do that. Oh, I bet that's old hat. That's old stuff, you know. That's long ago. But God's word hasn't changed. And it talks about that time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Oh, yeah, don't tell me you have to repent. Oh, my, you don't have to be baptized in the name of Jesus. No, oh, in filling of the Holy Ghost, that was for long, long, long ago. Now we're modern. Now we're different. But that's their own lust speaking. Shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. I wonder how much of what is preached in the pulpits today is truth and how much of it is fables. I have a feeling a great percentage of it is actually fable. But that's the way it is. Paul told Timothy, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Oh, the need is as great as it ever has been. Oh, yes, because we are living in that time period where sound doctrine is not widely embraced. In fact, everything is watered down. Oh, yes, there's all these versions of the Bible. There's all these other concepts. So many people just go to church as a social, you know, type of possibility to meet people or to participate in this or that, to hear a social message that comes from the pulpit. But is that going to save your soul? Oh, I don't care how many parties you have and how much frolicking or bingo games, or I don't care, you know, how many concerts you might have. If the anointing isn't there, if the presence of the Lord, if the Word of God is not taught and preached, if it isn't the wholesome gospel, that unadulterated message that was given to the church, oh yes, then it's not going to do you any good. As it tells us in Jude. The third verse in Jude. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." I hadn't changed then. And as Jude was actually the brother of Jesus, a son of Mary and Joseph. But he doesn't, you know, he doesn't call that, you know, to their attention. He just says brother James, who is another brother, as I believe. But anyway, he has a burden in his heart too, as he's writing Jude. He's speaking that, you know, he has a burden to give all diligence, to give one's very best effort to write unto you of a common salvation, all the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It says, "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Because even then, he tells us, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." And he goes back, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." We talked about them. We talked about, oh yes, those that wandered in the wilderness, those whose carcasses fell there because of unbelief. They could not enter into the promised land. Oh, and he's putting them in remembrance because even back then, oh, there was a need. Some years had passed, and you know, he felt very strongly, oh, to tell them that it was necessary, it was essential to contend, to fight for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Oh yes, he's warning them. He's warning them of that great need. I'll tell you what, even on the day of Pentecost, Peter, as he was preaching, how he was exhorting them. Oh, it's interesting how it is, you know, as Peter was preaching that gospel message, oh, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. This was it. Oh, yes, they had just received the Holy Ghost there in the upper room, and there was 120 that were assembled there. It had just fallen upon them. They had just, oh yes, I believe they're still speaking in tongues. Oh, as the Spirit of God gave them utterance, they heard them. The crowd gathered around them. They were noisy. They were worshiping the Lord. They were speaking in all these other different languages, and the people heard them. And oh, some didn't know what to think. Some thought they were drunken or, you know, just crazy or whatever, or, you know, but thank God. God spoke through Peter, and oh, yes, he said, oh, for these are not drunken as you suppose, in verse 15, here in Acts 2, but seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Oh, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, I'm so thankful the Lord Jesus knew his ministry was limited, 3.5 short years, but he was not going to leave us comfortless. No, he was going to come unto us. He was going to pour out of his spirit, as was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Oh, in the last days, yes, that time of his new covenant. Oh, God will pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. And I'm so thankful. Oh, yes, it wasn't just for one reserved class of people. It wasn't for just one certain race of people. Oh, but it would be for all that our Lord, our God, shall call. Oh, yes, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Oh, your young man shall see visions. Your old man shall dream dreams. My servants and my handmaidens. Oh, there's going to be no respect of persons, but of those that would have faith, those that would cry out, those that the Lord, our God, would call. Oh, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord. Peter was preaching forth the word of God and bringing forth, oh, yes, prophetic utterances that had been declared in the time before, that dispensation before. And, oh, he was bringing it out because now it had come to pass, the pouring out of God's Spirit. Oh, yes, those things that God had proclaimed. He told them, oh, yes, that same Jesus that they had crucified, that they had slain, that God had raised up, all loose the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should be holden of him. Verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Oh, yes, even David, his flesh, those that lived in that other period of time, their flesh could rest in hope because, oh, there was a day coming. Oh, yes, when the Savior would come. Oh, yes, and death would not destroy him, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Oh, yes. Oh, Jesus would be raised from the dead. Praise the Lord. And Peter was declaring it. Oh, yes, and oh, yes, there would be hope. Their soul would rest in peace, because their soul would not be left in the grave. But oh, there was hope of the resurrection. Thou hast made me known to the ways of life. Thou hast made me full. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and the sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. You know, it must have been so joyful, you know, to have been witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, to see that empty tomb. Oh, yes, where there was no body. Oh, just only the garments of the risen Savior. Oh, yes, and the angels instructing and saying, He is not here, but He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Oh, it was different now. Oh, yes, soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And verse 33 says, Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of a Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Oh, yes, Jesus had told them they were to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with his Spirit from on high. Oh, praise God, with his power from on high. They were to go, they were to wait, and then it happened there on the day of Pentecost, that promise of the Holy Ghost. Oh, he shed it forth, and they were witnesses. It says in verse 34, For God is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And I thank God something stirred in their hearts. Oh, there were a people there that could see and understand. There were people that could be touched by the presence of the Lord. It tells us here in verse 37, Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. It says, For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40 tells us, And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Oh, praise the Lord. That first message that went forth after Pentecost, and there was a response. Oh, that pricking in the heart. Oh, as God moved in their heart and they saw that need to get right with God. Praise the Lord. They were able. God gave them opportunity. God gave them space to repent and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, for the remission of sins. Oh, yes, with the knowledge that they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So he exhorted them. Oh, he testified and exhorted and said, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Oh, this generation that by itself goes away from God. But praise the Lord calls us to that place. Oh, yes, where we can go towards God. He puts it within us. And I thank God there was a response that day of Pentecost. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Oh, what a day. What a day of rejoicing that was. Oh, yes, as they heard the good news being brought forth. But here we are. Again, Peter exhorted them to save themselves from that untoward generation. And here tonight we still exhort one another daily the need to let God have his way in our lives, the need to give heed, all the need to forsake sin, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Oh yes, that call for today, to give heed, to get right, to repent, to turn, to listen. Now all we know, as it tells us in Hebrews 10, oh, that new covenant that he brought forth, And it tells us in verse 22 of Hebrews 10, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Oh yes, that wonderful washing of regeneration. Oh yes, which happens in the waters of baptism. And that purging that from that evil conscience. Oh, the Lord taking the path, the Lord taking the sins, sprinkling us, our hearts even, from that evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Oh, yes, if we could encourage, if we could admonish, if we can exhort one another unto love and good works. Yes, and the zeal of the Lord. That's what the preaching is all about. And it tells us in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Exhorting one another, encouraging one another. Oh yes, provoking one another to a zeal for the love of God. The love unto good works. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As we see the day approaching. Oh, I believe that we're in these end times. Oh, when our Lord is coming back. And oh, as they were exhorted in days of old, in times of old, to give heed, to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, so are we exhorted here tonight. Oh, to give heed to this word that was spoken in times of old, that our hearts might be right, that we might have a true heart that's surrendered and given to the Lord, that our hearts might be sprinkled from an evil conscience. Our bodies washed with that pure water. Oh, praise the Lord, for it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, and I praise the Lord, I praise the Lord. We don't have to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but here we are tonight. Oh, yes, to hear the word of God and to be exhorted so we could exhort one another daily, reminding each other the Lord is coming. He's coming back for a people whose hearts are full of the Holy Ghost, whose lamps are trimmed and burning. A people that have been given over to the Lord and following his word. I praise the Lord, we have opportunity tonight. Praise the Lord, and we can exhort one another. We don't want to forget the things that have been given to us. Oh no, but we've got to contend for that which matters. We've got to contend for the things that are precious, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Oh, praise the Lord, I pray that he works in our heart, that he keeps that which, oh, we have committed unto him against that day. Oh, praise the Lord. We don't want to look back. We don't want to give up. We don't want to turn around. But we, by the grace of God, will endure until the end. For as we said already there, as Hebrews 10 ends, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of a soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that you talk to us, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you direct us, Lord. And I pray that you change us, Lord, that none would be lost, that none would perish, oh, Lord. That give us that zeal for thee, Lord, that desire, Lord, to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to have lamps, oh, Lord, that are trimmed and burning, Lord. Oh, God, that that light of the gospel, oh, God, that you made to shine would shine brightly in our hearts and souls, Lord. Work in us, Lord. Change us. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Move in every heart, Lord. You know the needs, God. I pray, oh Lord, that your will would be accomplished in our lives, Lord. And oh God, that we would not be found wanting on that day, Lord. But oh Lord, we'd be filled with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We could give our hearts to the Lord. And thank God we have opportunity, even right now, tonight. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing tonight, we are going to go to the chorus book and sing number 41. Awake, Zion, awake. Number 41 in the chorus book.
Awake, Zion, awake. Awaken from your lamps. Awake, Zion, awake. Awaken from your lamps. For the stars of heaven shall fall, and the moon shall be turned into blood, and the Son of God shall appear. Zion, awake.
Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.